Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. Well, it brings me great joy to be back with you once again and share from the Word of God. As you know, we started a Bible school here in Dallas, Texas, which is an international Bible college. It's right now a long-distance learning online school. We have students in Zambia, students within the United States of America, students in South Africa, students in Uganda, Tanzania, Kenya, and we're getting students in Botswana. Beloved ones, you know, we are reaching the verge of great revival. God poured out His Spirit upon me and my wife to begin this great work of training men and women for the ministry. And, you know, the Lord just told me and reminded me, said, son, time is gone. You better do something about training people for the ministry. Now, when I say time is gone, all I'm just saying is, you know, many times as you celebrate your birthday, you're advancing in life. You're getting close to go to heaven, as it was. But the whole fact is, in your life, what are you going to give to God? What are you going to do for the Lord? The Bible said the things that we do, in actual fact, yes, I think it's in the book of Corinthians or somewhere there written that the things that are done in Christ remain forever. Or it's just a comment made on the Word of God. The things that we do for the Lord remain forever, you see. But the things that we just do in the flesh, they don't remain forever, you know. I mean, they disappear, they are gone, because it just life is frequently, it's a flimsy. Life comes and goes. But the works that we do in the kingdom of God remains forever. That's why, see, with me, I'm challenged no matter what. The kingdom of God, the work of the kingdom, comes as number one in my life. Because, you know, God has saved me tremendously. I told you before, at my job one time, I was attacked and I almost lost my life. But thank God I was alive. And I asked the Lord, oh God, you look, you saved my life. God says, you know, because my purpose for your life has not yet been done. You are still to do my will. And that's what I'm here for. Here in the United States of America, God has granted us a special blessing in that there are many, many facilities that we can use to propagate the gospel to the world. When I say propagate, I mean preach the good news to the world. We are here to preach. We are here to propagate. And God is not going to use nobody else but us. You know, there was a time I used to think, I said, ha, Lord, there's so many preachers around. Why do you need me to preach? You know what the Lord said to me? He said, I've got a diversity of children with different gifts. He said to me, your gift is as good as the gift I have on Creflo Dollar. Your gift is the same gift as I have on Ricky Rush. Your gift is the same gift I have on T.D. Jakes. God told me, I want a flavor in the kingdom. See, people will be drawn to T.D. Jakes. Other people will be drawn to Creflo Dollar. Other people, God has different flavors. He had 12 apostles, less one, who Judas Iscariot, as you know, who sought the Lord. But then he had Peter. Then he had John. Then he had the other apostles. See, Matthew. These people, all of them, like we have the gospel according to St. Matthew. We have a gospel according to St. Luke, who was not an original apostle, but he worked with the apostles, got the readings and got the events as they happened from the reports he received from the apostles, and he wrote the gospel according to St. Luke. St. Luke was a medical doctor by qualification. He qualified as a medical doctor, and he wrote the book of the gospel according to St. Luke and the book of Acts. But professionally speaking, he was a medical doctor. See what I'm saying? So you can have a different kind of calling. You can be a medical doctor like Dr. Luke, who wrote the gospel according to St. Luke, or you can be an engineer, a mechanical engineer, and you can still be called by God. You see what I'm saying? Originally, I used to be an electrical technician. I built substations in Zambia. These are huge substations, my friend, costing millions and millions of dollars. But there I was at a workforce of almost 30 to 40 people working under me. Here in the America, you know, call somebody responsible in a shift or in a company as a manager. That's the position I had. But there they called me maintenance and construction foreman. I was the manager. I did the shifts for all the employees. I worked their timesheets. I assigned them jobs. I checked on them. I gave them evaluations. I was the overall boss. But you see, God called me to full-time ministry. I had a nice home. I had a beautiful home there in an exclusive power company residential area. These homes were built specifically for bosses in the power company. They were four-bedroom homes, three-bedroom homes, most of them with swimming pools. These are beautiful homes, I can assure you. Well maintained. The company planted grass and flowers even before you moved into the house. The grounds were well done. And I had one of those houses. It was a three-bedroomed house, a beautiful house with a swimming pool. And I had a company car. I didn't have to worry about gas. I just went to the company garage, as we call it, filled in the car, and I was gone to supervise people on my job. But you see, these things don't last forever. You see, God takes us in phases and changes our life. And so God changed my life. He brought in a new phase. I had to go to Bible school. I had to resign my job. The call of God was so heavy on my life. And I went to Nigeria, where I did studies in theology and Bible ministries for 2 years. Upon graduation, in the second year, I was very dedicated to the school that they appointed me as a senior school prefect at All Nations for Christ Bible Institute. My father in the faith at that time was Archbishop Idahosa, a highly and heavily anointed man of God who had miracles working with him wherever he went. This man built huge projects, a huge church sitting over 10,000 members. He was on radio. He was on television in Nigeria, impacting the spirit world with the word of God. We had crusades as Bible school students, as ministers from the United States came into Nigeria. We had people like Richard Roberts. We had people like Kenneth Copeland. We had people like mighty man of God, Frederick Price from California. I was there with Frederick Price, when he came with his daughter, and we were together with Archbishop Idahosa. We were in Port Harcourt. I had lunch with Frederick Price and the Archbishop. We sat together and had lunch. He said, well, why talk about the lunch? You know, because you see, the more you interact with men of God like that, you get an impartation. See, those who serve big men in ministry, men of God in ministry, are servants of the Lord, or as they call the decamp, or as they call the right-hand man. What happens is the spirit that's on the man you are serving, it will come upon you. That's what happened with Elisha and Elijah. The spirit that was upon Elijah came upon Elisha. Remember when God was taking away Elijah from Elisha? Elisha said, ask me of me, what do you want me to do for you? He said that a double portion of your spirit can come upon me. And Elijah said, ooh, what you have asked is so big. A double portion of my spirit? He said, I'm not able to do that. But well, as you see me being taken away from you and you fix your eyes on me, it's up to God to give it to you. When you see me go from you, let your request be granted. And it was so. As Elijah was taken away from Elisha, Elisha shouted and cried out, says, my God, my God, the horsemen of Israel and the chariots thereof, because there came these horsemen with the chariots of fire that came from heaven and took Elijah alive into heaven. In fact, right now, Elijah is in heaven alive. You say, ooh, how can that be? I don't know. It's God. You see, God can translate things. God can do it. But then if you read the prophetical utterances of the Bible, it says eventually Elijah is going to come back during the time of the Great Tribulation. And when Elijah comes back, that's when he's going to be a witness together with Enoch. You know, Enoch also never died. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. So Enoch is in heaven also with his own body, glorified body, I do believe. Because you cannot live in heaven with the blood. You see, when Jesus died, he shed all his blood on the cross. And the blood, you know, was for our redemption. Now, when Jesus arose from the dead, the Bible said it's a bone, flesh and bone body, because the blood was given in sacrifice. But then the other thing you don't understand is that Jesus, after he had risen from the dead, he ate food. See, he ate something. And so this is what it is, beloved ones, and God called me to the ministry, to serve him in ministry, and that's what I've done, and obeyed the call of God. After 2 years, I came back from Bible school. I was ordained to the ministry as a minister of the gospel. Upon ordination, I came home with the fullness of the Spirit that was imparted unto me, and started a church with 6 people in a man who was my friend. I ordained him as elder, and from the other friend we had, I ordained him as a deacon, Brother Andrew, and his wife, Regina, as a deaconess. So I had an elder, a deacon, and a deaconess. Then we began the church that Sunday in the church of an elder, Elder Lumbwe. Then from the next coming Sunday, we moved into a school. And from there, because God used me a lot to deliver people from demonic oppression. So they used to come to the elder's house where I lived on in Jacaranda Avenue there in Luansha. And I'll pray for people even after midnight. They'll come, different people with different ailments. They'll knock on the door and I'll pray for them for their deliverance. And they were delivered. So news spread out in Luansha that, hey, there is a man of God who have come from Nigeria. He's praying for sick people. He's praying for those who are possessed with devils and they're being set free. That's how our church began to grow, as the impact of what God was doing spread forth throughout Luansha, and then it went across the Copper Belt. I opened the branch churches in Kitui at Greater Works Tabernacle. I opened another branch church in Indola at Gospel Lighthouse. I had Pastor David Chivambo pastoring the church in Indola. I had another pastor pastoring the Kitui church. Then I had dear pastor, I think I can't remember his full name now, but he pastored the church in Kalulushi. So I was just spreading these churches, you know, and I would go there to back them up. I opened the church in Lusaka, at the Lusaka Roundabout. I was expanding. But you see, by the grace of God, as the time went on, some of the dear ones were faithful, some were not. I started evangelizing. I went to Botswana. I was partnered with a lady who was a missionary with her husband to Ndola. They lived in Ndola, a city on the Copper Belt in Zambia. The husband said, you know what, you can go and evangelize with my wife. She accompanied me all the way to Botswana. I went with the students. I had crusades in Botswana. People were healed and set free. I went to the place where the president of Botswana was born. and where his family still is. I think it's President Masir. So I went there. Is it Masir or Kwame Nkrumah? I can't remember Masir. Then anyway, I preached in that village and came back to Gaborone in Botswana, preached the word of God with power and miracles happening. In Kenya, I preached in Nairobi with Bishop Tumusing at his big church of over 3,000 members. I preached and he hosted me in his own house. The power of God moved. I was with them in the overnight prayer where they had adjacent to the church. By that time, he was building a huge church. And so God has used me dynamically. I moved and had crusades in the Cameroons, in Douala. I had big meetings in Sweden with my friend, Lashkana Sandberg. And then here in the United States, I crisscrossed by the power of God. And so now we have a Bible school online, and we are planning to have an actual Bible school here in Dallas, a physical building where you would come and sit down and study the Word of God for 1 year and get a diploma like those who are studying with us for 1 year. And so, friends, today I would just like to share from the Word of God, like I've those who have seen the posting on the internet. My title of today's teaching, I just gave a long introduction, but that's fine. I'm trying to keep up with you, beloved ones. It says, taking authority over your life. That my study, the main text. Text means the scripture I'm studying the word from. We are studying from is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. I'm reading from what I just typed over here on the internet. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, let me make a comment here. You see, God has given us the power to control our minds. If you see, they have already typed that in us. You can read it with me there on the internet. God has given us the power to control our minds. Your mind is a vital tool God has given you to overcome the devil and to be successful in life. When you think right, you act right. But when you think wrong, you act wrong. The Word of God said, as a man thinketh, so is he. You change your thinking, then you change your life. You think prosperity, you will prosper. You think success, you will succeed. Now, the bottom line is this. A lot of things have to do with how you think. You see, God has given us weapons like we have read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh. What does it mean to walk in the flesh? To walk in the flesh simply means the way we live, you see. Flesh means the body. You see, here in the world, we walk in what we call the physical world. I can see you, you can see me. But right now, because I'm broadcasting on air, you can't see me unless, you know, I was doing a live television or the way I do my YouTube broadcast. But in the world, we see one another because we are in the flesh. You see, this world was designed to be occupied by men who are physical in flesh, blood, bone, and flesh, blood, and bone body. What I mean is the body has the flesh, it has the blood flowing through it, and the bone gives the structure to the flesh and makes you and me, so you can identify me. See what I'm saying? This world was not designed for disembodied spirits. Now, what do I mean by disembodied spirits? A disembodied spirit simply means a spirit that has lost its body. You see, the body that you have, what I have, is a physical body. Now, this body gives you and me the authority to be on earth. You understand? when you lose this body, maybe through sickness or somebody shoots and kills, whatever they do, I don't want to say kills you. I don't want to put that curse or strong word on your life, because the words are very powerful. I'm just saying, if somebody kills somebody, right, by a gun, kills them and shoots them, or they die out of sickness, once that body is dead, that person has got no more authority to live on this planet. They will have to leave immediately. The reason being that this planet was designed for human beings, you understand? People with the flesh, blood, and bone body, okay? So the body, the flesh and blood and bone body gives a home for your spirit. Because if you go back into the originality of the creation of man, you are a spirit being, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So the real you is spirit. The soul, that's where your thoughts are, that's where your feelings are, that's where your emotions are. Your mind is actually in your soul area. See, that's why when you are born again, your spirit is recreated anew in the image of God, because God comes in your life by His Holy Spirit and dwells inside your spirit. When you are born again, God does not come and dwell in your flesh. God does not come and dwell in your soul, which is your mind, your emotions, and your five sense realm. No, He doesn't do that. God comes and lives in your spirit. That's why a born-again child of God cannot be possessed of demon spirits, or cannot be possessed by the devil. Your spirit, once it's possessed as it was by the Holy Ghost, the devil has got no room to possess you. The only thing the devil can do is oppress you. There's a difference between possess and oppress. To possess something is to get hold of something and to claim ownership of that thing. To oppress is to come from the outside and influence your thinking and your act. So what the devil can do is to oppress you as a child of God. You influence the way you think. You know, some people say, well, the devil knows what I'm thinking. No. The devil does not know what you are thinking. He doesn't. You say, oh, Bishop Mwamba, the devil knows what I'm thinking. No, he does not know what you are thinking. The reason being that your mind is your mind. It's not the devil's mind. There's no way the devil is going to get into your mind to know what you are thinking. You understand? What you are thinking is you who is thinking. Your mind is your mind. It's not the devil's mind. You understand? So when you think, it's you thinking and not the devil thinking. So here we have a scripture from the Apostle Paul showing you that sometimes when you go through these oppressive devils and spirits, which try to influence your mind to think you are sick, to think you are defeated, to think you can't make it in life, to think you are a loser, to think you are a nobody, to think you never make it in life. This is why the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church here in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, he said, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk after the flesh. So he's saying, although we are walking as human beings here on earth, we don't fight as human beings, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He's saying, the weapons or the weapons we use to fight the war here or on earth as Christians, they are not carnal. Carnal simply means of the flesh. Carnal is like you use a weapon like a gun, that's carnal. You use a spear, that's carnal. You use a sword, that's carnal. Those are carnal weapons. Those weapons don't work in the spirit realms. That's what Paul is saying. But he said the weapons we use, but mighty. Through God, these weapons are mighty through God. So the weapons we use mighty weapons through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what's a stronghold? A stronghold is something that finds its base in your mind. What we're talking about here is a war in the spirit. Actually, this war is in your mind. Thoughts that you have of wickedness, thoughts that you have of immorality, thoughts that you have of whatever you think, you know, those who are lesbian or homosexual, whatever, it's in your mind. These spirits, once you open a door, they come in your mind and they build what we call a stronghold. A stronghold means a base which you cannot easily overthrow or topple. Now, Paul is saying we have tools. We have weapons at our disposal to destroy these strongholds. He says in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, when a stronghold comes in your life, it's wanting to change the way you behave. There are strongholds of alcohol, strongholds of immorality, adultery, sexual perversion. Those are strongholds. Strongholds of smoking drugs, of being addicted to smoking and nicotine and the alcohol. Those are strongholds. See what I'm saying? Now, you cannot just shake them off and say, me, I shake it off, I'm not going to smoke. Now, if you've got a strong will, some people do it with a strong will. But when you use the weapons that God has given us, you are guaranteed to have victory every time you use these weapons. Paul said, for the weapons of our warfare. What does warfare mean? Warfare means you are in a war against an enemy. Who is this enemy we're fighting against? We're fighting against demonic spirits. And above all, we are fighting against the devil. Now, our warfare is not carnal. That means it's not of the flesh where you see your opponent. We don't see our opponent because our opponents are spiritual beings. Spiritual beings means they're spirits you can't see with your naked eye. Spiritual beings, we can only know them through the Word of God and as the Lord reveals it to us. But we can know where there is a spiritual being taking strongholds by the way the person behaves. There are some pathetic, pathological liars, like they say. They just got the spirit of great distortion and lying all the time. They are spirits of total carnality. Carnality simply means 100% flesh, no spiritual impact whatsoever. They follow the devil 100%. They are carnal. But see, when you find yourself headed the wrong way, you can correct yourself by using these weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but mighty through God, through pulling down our strongholds. Ask the Bishop Mamba, what are these weapons? Simply spoken, the Word of God. When you start listening to the Word of God, you begin to renew your mind. As you start to renew your mind, the thoughts that you had before will start to change. You see, your mind is like a computer, you see, a computer, all it does is store information. You understand? A computer stores information. It stores information that you put in it. The computer is not going to create its own information. It stores what you put there. The same way goes with your mind. Your mind has been recording things since you were a child. Even though you become a Christian, but your mind is still the same. You change it by the Word of God. And when you have the Word of God in your mind, guess what happens? The Spirit of the Lord starts to erase your old way of thinking. And as your old way of thinking is being erased by the Spirit of God, the power of the Word of God which you have in you begins to change the way you live. The word that goes in your mind grows to an extent that it has an impact on your flesh. Your flesh will have to obey the Word of God which is in your mind. That's how you get a transformed life. Transformation comes by the Word of God. The more word you receive, the more word you listen to, the more preaching you listen to, the more you assimilate and you understand of the Word of God, the more you change. When you don't have the Word of God in you, you're going to be the most carnal Christian this world has ever seen. If you want to change, you must have the Word of God in you. Well, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, signing off here in Dallas, Texas, and saying, God bless you. We'll speak to you again, and bye-bye. God bless you.